the northwest, with the crime manifesting in the mines area. And we now go back to the international sphere, where we speak about the Trump inauguration. Donald Trump, as my teacher refers to him, the ultimate con man, back in office for a second term, and his inauguration, where the president is sworn into office, is currently underway in the U.S. Just 3 days before U.S. President-elect Donald Trump, who is soon to be President Donald Trump once again, returns to the White House, Russia and Iran are set to finally sign a comprehensive partnership agreement, a deal that has been in the works for months. The move will also refocus attention on a partnership that has shaped the geopolitical landscape in Ukraine amidst a war, and which remains committed to challenging the U.S.-led international order, if I may add, the unipolarity world order, where the U.S. seeks to maintain hegemony over the rest of the world. Online, we have Mr. David Monnier, who is an international relations expert, to tell us a bit more about this particular topic. As we are trying to get Mr. David Monnier, who is an international relations expert, online, we'd like to remind the listeners that, of course, the Trump inauguration is on its way, and you may, of course, view it on the various social media as well as news networks to try and get an understanding as to what is transpiring and what will be transpiring in the U.S. and, of course, globally in the next few hours and days. We have Mr. David Monnier online, who is an international relations expert, who will be expounding upon this topic, the Trump inauguration. Mr. David Monnier, we welcome you to PM Drive. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you and to listeners.
It's an honor to be engaging with you, sir. Ultimately, as we said, Trump is going to be placed into office and inaugurated very soon for a second time. And we'd like to ask you, sir, to please shed light on the overall Trump inauguration and what this means for the U.S. at large, and at the same time, what this might mean for us here locally in South Africa.
I think what is happening, firstly, regardless of our views that we have of the U.S., this is a transition which is peaceful. The rule of law, the former head of state is stepping down, handing over to Trump. But this is a man that we know, and therefore there is not going to be any surprises. He wants it to be very big. He wants to show that he's now in charge, and the previous administration has been weak on a number of issues, and therefore these presidential orders, powers of the president to change laws, it will come in effect. The immediate ones is to do with TikTok and immigration issues, particularly issues of controlling and arresting those who are in the United States illegally. And more importantly, I think we're going to see at international stage a new view of the U.S. That is more Trump, particularly in the Middle East, Israeli-Palestinian question. I think we saw yesterday a beginning of a peace process, as well as in Ukraine. So there are a number of things that are going to happen. On the economic front, I think we're going to see the tariffs which brought him into power, tension with the U.S. on trade, and a number of other allies, including the European Union, as well as Britain itself.
Indeed, very important points being mentioned of this. You know, in our language, in Afrikaans, the language of our forefathers here in the Cape region, we have a saying which goes, Jehovah jou in gedachte met 'n gedachte, meaning that you pretend to not know, but meanwhile, you know exactly what you are doing. And ultimately, that was what the Biden administration was. And now with Trump, as you said, sir, we know exactly what we are in for. And specifically pertaining to what is happening in the U.S. with the identity politics and woke movement, the left being on crutches now with Trump coming into power, it will be something interesting to view as the days and hours unfold. I would like to then ask, sir, how does the U.S. decisions impact the overall geopolitical landscape moving forward, given Trump's character that you referenced?
But this is a man that is to the far right. And there's a good and bad element of the man. One is predictability. I think we all know that he might not take decisions that are good for international relations, especially for the African continent, our own continent. His views are racist. However, if you compare, I mean, more similar to what you said in Afrikaans, is better the devil you know. Here is a man that might be racist, but he tends to leave Africa alone. So you are better engaging such a man than the one who smile at you and say you are a friend, a liberal democracy. At the end, is causing much more harm. This is the case of Biden. I think he was a disaster to Africa. He was a disaster to the Middle East and international relation in general, and left a bad impression of the image of the U.S. And I think immediate in Latin America, there was going to be huge shakeup on trade as well as immigrants. More people are going to be expelled from the U.S. So there are a number of things that are going to happen that has a stamp of a man that is much more advances a foreign policy that is transactional rather than your norm and value, liberal or conservative. This man is just a businessman who is running there as a head of states, surrounded by very rich people, including our own Elon Musk.
Indeed, very important points mentioned. And speaking about Elon Musk and the business side, when it comes now to the manifestation of policy, I would like to ask, sir, what role will the U.S. now play in AGOA, and how does this impact South Africa at large in the process? As you mentioned, Trump doesn't really have his attention on Africa, but of course, what happens in the U.S. impacts us either directly or indirectly. So how will this now basically manifest towards us here in this part of the world?
When it comes to AGOA, I think it's a win-win. And given the fact that there is competition, not only because of China, Russia is moving on the African continent, and there are quite a number of other new players that are coming in, particularly the ones I call silent players, such as the Gulf states, that are increasingly playing a critical role on the African continent. Therefore, I think Trump will be very careful not to alienate the continent. So there might be continuity, but tension with South Africa on key issues such as the Palestinian-Israeli and the ICC case. He is openly pro-Israeli, and South Africa will be at the receiving end, no doubt about that. But it might be more in rhetorics and sideline on a number of issues. But overall, I think trade will continue as it is.
Indeed, and with that said, sir, we all know that the U.S. will impact the Russian and Ukrainian war. And how would this basically impact diplomatic ties? We know that Trump had already indicated, even before he comes into office, that the matter between Russia and Ukraine will be settled, that there will also be a ceasefire in place. So he seems to be this kind of a messiah that wishes to be painted out there to the world as if he is a peacemaker. But is this really the case, or is this dust being thrown into our eyes to basically be a roadmap towards that which he would seek to further embark upon in an exacerbated manner?
When you look at the man, whether you like it or not, well, based on his first administration, there were less wars that the United States waged under his administration. And I think we're going to see a continuity of that. That does not mean that he's going to pursue a pro-Africa or pro-South Africa position in international relations. I doubt very much. I think it's going to be a crisis in international forums, particularly your United Nations. He might pull out U.S. from WTO. He might pull out the U.S. from UNESCO, World Health Organization. And I think the crisis will continue, where U.S. might pay less Jews to these bodies, and that is a huge impact on the African continent, given the fact that bulk of global conflicts are on our own continent. So that's one. When it comes to the Middle East, he wants to continue being close to Saudi Arabia, and therefore I think he'll be harder to Netanyahu as much as the Palestinian, particularly Hamas, and that there might be a bit of a stability, but not full resolution of the crisis of Israeli-Palestinian. That is a two-state solution. And the Korean Peninsula, you're going to have somehow renewed negotiation on North Korea, and Ukraine directly is close to President Putin, and there might be a ceasefire somehow this year, even though it's going to be a very difficult negotiation. The European Union might be unhappy with the number of positions it's going to take. However, he comes at a time when the ground is shifted. The support for Ukraine is not as strong as it was under Biden, and therefore with him, Europeans might look the other side and allow him to bring peace and a win-win kind of solution coming out of the Ukraine-Russia crisis.
Indeed, as you said, sir, rather the devil that we know than the devil that we do not know, and to say nonetheless that we are in unprecedented times. At the voice of Mr. David Monnier.